Not long ago, we had a couple here, in fact, more than a couple, who, mother, father, and some other relatives, who came and met us, and they were the mother and father of a young man who lost his life, and by losing his life, Ken Reagan was given life. And Ken shared with me a letter this morning from Carrie, the father, who wanted to be in touch and asking about them and how they were doing. But he especially mentioned how impressed he was with the church here and with meeting everyone and knowing that Scott's organs have been used in such a blessed way and such a good couple. And I wish they lived nearer, as I know they do too. And just remember, over and over again, it reminds us, number one, of how precious our children are, mothers, and we don't know what will happen. But how important it is as we reach out to those who visit us and come be with us, that we might share with them our faith and our love, and hopefully cause them to want to know the things that are so important to us. Anybody ever been to the Point Church? Anybody ever been to the Point Church? Somehow, okay. I've never been to the Point Church before, but I know about it. It's the Wellington Point Recreation Halls where it meets, and it's in Australia. That's the way Australians are. They don't ever say many words if they can use a few. I introduced myself quite often as Tommy and Thomas when I lived in Australia. I never had one Australian not come back and say, "Oh, Tom, how are you, mate?" You know, it's always Tom. It didn't matter what I said. They'd leave off. So it's the Point Church. And it's located there in Queensland, that is in the Brisbane area. And they have shepherds. I like this. They got three elders, we would say. But if you look up on that website, it says shepherd-type leaders. You know, we talked sometime how we get into our phraseology and we use things exclusive of others, and the world doesn't understand it much anyway. But I really like that. Shepherd type leaders. That means elders, bishops. They are the pastors, but they're shepherd type. And then they have some who are steward type leaders. And be deacons or ministers or servants, we might say. But you know, you got to be careful in religion, or you'll just choose one word and that means the whole thing, and it becomes something that is not just descriptive, but it becomes something that means a designation becomes a name, and it's a designation that tells about a wonderful work. I don't give you any of those. That's the area code 07. You know, they just don't need too many numbers over there. You know, there's not many people when you take the land size. I won't give you, now I'll give you that man's whole number. If you want to call him at lunchtime one day, go right ahead and call him. That'll be right in the middle of the next day, night, for him sleeping. Well, how many hours is it difference now? How many? Y'all don't know? 20, 17, 18? Anyway, it might be that if we enter a contest today on who, what child has traveled the farthest to be with their mother today, we might get the award in Donette coming with her whole family to see her mother and be here on Mother's Day, because they live in Brisbane, Australia. The congregation, 90 or 100, I think that's, this could be some of its old information, but that's a large group in Australia. It really is. Sunday venue is at the Sunday venue. That's the meeting time. That's the meeting place. I like this. 9:30 for announcements start out, and then it's the Lord's Supper. And then they go from the Lord's Supper, then they have prayers, the Lord's Supper and prayers are at this time. And then they evidently have some venue where the men will pray and the women will pray. And I thought, what kind of group is this? And I hadn't been there, but I've been to Australia, and things are different everywhere you go. But you know what that reminds you of? It reminds you of Acts 2:42. That's what it reminds you of, if you want to just know what it reminds you of. They continue steadfastly the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the teaching of the Lord, breaking of bread and prayers. That's what they did. They came together for the breaking of bread and prayers, and that's evidently what they do at 9:30. Is it still 9:30 over there? Is this current? And then at 10:45, they have a lesson, have some preaching then. And have evidently a praise theme of songs during the month. So pretty good worship order. I did things after I saw y'all moving the other night. And then at 6:30 p.m., they have small group Bible studies, different venues. Most at Sunday night, but the most Sunday nights, there's a group meeting at the Point. The Point Church. You know, you said, I've come to the Point Church. What is that? That's the Church of God. What is it? It's the Church of Christ. What is it? It's the Church of the Firstborn Ones. What is it? It's where the Christians meet. Sounds a lot like people would ask questions, want to know what you're about. Friends, that's some of the things I was saying the other day. We try to see what we can be. And Wednesday nights, various Bible studies. Your Bible studies are Sunday night and Wednesday night. So you have your Bible classes. And it's at a college. Now, you go to Australia. I've been there. And I've been to Tasmania. And there were things different there. And the problem there, too, is if you say, well, let's do it another way, sometimes they'll say, wait, this is the way you do it. No matter where you go, it can become the way to do it. You don't think enough through that. I understand that, and different churches have different ways, but we ought to try to address what we do, what we call ourselves, and what we're participating in as much as we can by the Scriptures, and also that it might appeal to the questioning mind of people to want to know more, where they can't just pigeonhole you. And I want to tell you, I'm very pleased to look this up, to just find where this Steve Wilson is preaching now. He's a deacon too. And Donette and Hannah, is that right? Caitlin and Nathan. And this is the first time the whole family has been able to come over in a long time or ever, I don't know. We've had some. Been a long time. And I want to tell you, we had a wedding last week. This is my wedding suit. If y'all think I got a new suit on, I do. It's my wedding suit. But what a joy it was for my whole family to be together. We just had the best time. You miss it. And I'm rejoicing today at there being able to all be here together. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about thought about getting him to get up here and say something about the work. But when I read this, I wanted to get up here and say something about the work. Because I think that'll help us think a little bit. Just think a little bit. What is that saying? We've been thinking here for years about how can we best use our times and services, and we've tweaked this, that, and the other, and we need to keep thinking about how can we best use our times and services and be what the Bible says, no more, no less. Use designations and don't make them some kind of capital letter name that excludes others. And say it in a way like the Lord did to cause people to question. Say, what does that mean? You know, Lord used statements that just cause questions all the time, didn't he? Glad you're here, Donette. Glad you're here with your mother. Mothers are so important. Sometimes mothers go through things like Scott's mother and daddy went through, losing a son young. That another might have life is what happened, but they lost their son. Some people a long time before they have a child. That's Zacharias and Elizabeth. I found that on God. Zacharias was old. Elizabeth was old. They didn't have children. Zacharias was a priest of the Abijah clan, strain, whatever it is, of Aaron's family. I looked that up some and looked at the Hebrew and what some of the Hebrew writers were saying about it. And if he was having his turn in serving in the temple, when the Lord appeared to him and told him through the angel that he was going to have a son, he said, I can't have a son because I'm old. My wife's old. Says, you're going to have a son because you don't believe. You're not going to be able to talk until he's born, and you'll call his name John. All the people were wondering why he was in there. He's burning incense, and why was it taking so long? You know, they went through priests, and the burning of incense had the idea of prayer, and I don't know all about it, but it was important what the priests were doing in there for them to God. And, of course, Christ is for us today. And they came out, and he couldn't tell them with his voice. But after he got through, he went home. And sure enough, Elizabeth came to be with child. And it's a wonderful story. I started to read all that, but I won't have time to do that. Most of us know that story. 6 months later, we know that Jesus, also there was a relative who had a child, Mary. Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. A man that lived out in the desert area because nobody at the temple wanted anything to do with him. I tell you, sometimes you don't know why your children do what they do. And you scratch your head and you think, my, they must be doing something wrong. I wonder what Zacharias thought. He knew God had sent this child. But yet here he was, one that waited on the temple, and they were good people, because it says in that passage in Luke that Elizabeth and Zacharias were blameless. They were good people. But what religion had become around them wasn't good. They had made rules and become to do things, and to such an extent that they couldn't even accept the spirituality of a Messiah who came to just preach what people ought to be outside of what people had become. Sometimes mamas say, well, you know, I've been worried about my child. How worried do you think Zacharias and Elizabeth might have been about their child? You ever thought about that? Out there with a camel say, out there, in fact, when people says, y'all need to go out there and hear my son. Y'all need to go out there and hear my son John. He's out there preaching. You scribes and Sadducees, people in the temple, let's get a group and let's go out there. That wouldn't have worked out so good. Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the districts around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. What happened to John the Baptist? You think about an axe. I don't know if you can see that or not. You can't see it. You see it great on my computer. This is a chopping. Uh-oh. This is a chopping block. And here's an axe, big-headed axe. The axe is laid at the root of the tree, ready to... John's head might have been laid upon a chopping block like that. And the axe came down. You know, John the Baptist, one of the greatest people that ever lived, Jesus said that. None greater among men. I wonder what Elizabeth thought when she heard about some rancorous party that led to her son's head being chopped off. Oh, imagine a little child being born in a manger. And imagine he's come and the angels have told you that he's coming to save the world, but you have to run off and go down to Egypt. Man, that's not where the Jew would want to go, I don't think. Do you return to Egypt? Now, they weren't old. They were so young to have a child. It's just the opposite of the Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, Mary and Joseph are just young, and they have a child. But it's of the Holy Spirit. And they had to run for their lives. And then when they came back, they couldn't come back to Bethlehem and be around Jerusalem and this child who was going to grow up to be the Savior of the world. They had to go up into Galilee, which the Pharisees and Sadducees, the same people that were a part of those coming out to see John the Baptist, they thought, can any good thing come out of Galilee? That's for the people that are not of the elite. They don't know the Word of God. We can so pride ourselves in knowledge and be careful as we want to study the Bible. Be careful as we want to know everything that it doesn't minister our pride instead of our humility of service and love. He goes up and he just out there planing wood, learning a trade. When he comes back down in that territory, they don't like him either. Religion can become something that God never intended for it to become. And we can be a part of it and not even know it. Just like being in the pot and turn the stove up. Get the water warm a little bit and the frog never jumps out. Jesus had to finally stay away from Jerusalem too. Because they were coming out for his life. They didn't stone him. They didn't chop his head off. They got the Romans to put him on a cross. Boy, we've gone today from a mother who lost a son and saved a life to a mother who had a prophet born to her and he was killed at a young age. You know, my eldest son became 46 yesterday. My baby son recently came 30. Well, it was more like the age of my baby son that John and Jesus lost their lives. To mothers that loved them so much. But let me tell you something about children. Now we're talking about mothers today. A story of hope and renewal. That's what babies do for us. You know, I tell you, you can read about babies in the Bible and, oh man, I didn't even talk about what happened in Bethlehem because Jesus was born there. To all the mothers who had a boy 2 years or younger. But you know what a baby does? A baby is just a story of hope and renewal. To the Cogers, to the Camellias, to the Sarios, to the Foxes. Hey, well, that new baby is every possibility of every new and wonderful thing there is. It's just full of life. Emmylou. Can I say that the next girl's name's going to be Magnolia for Haley in June? Of renewal and hope. This name came from Whitney, whose Hunter's married to 2 weeks ago yesterday. Her grandmother, her maternal grandmother's Naomi Warren, who survived Auschwitz. Got there and her husband, her brother, and her mother was killed instantly. I mean, very soon. And she worked 2.5 years in those labor camps. Night and day, couldn't take a day off. She told the story of a good friend who just said they couldn't come out. I just can't go today. She's just too tired. She said, you got to come. And they would drag each other out to work. But they couldn't drag her out. She says, I can't. I can't go today. When they came back after work that day, she was gone. They'd killed her. Imagine that. You think you works hard for you? For 2.5 years. She did that. But the story about her life, and that story entitled, is a story of hope and renewal. And aren't we glad? And when you meet Nunu, they call her as a grandmother, she's just full of life and hope and got the most positive attitude you can imagine. And that's what children and heritage brings to us. That's why family is so important to us. It's something that we can bless the world with. Every birth is a story of renewal and hope. You know what it's like? You know what it's like for every child I've seen born to the Carrie Ann and Micah and all the others, my own? And here's the important thing. Every child is a child of God. We are made in His image. That's why it's such a story of hope and renewal. We can see all the tragedies that can surround life, and there are many. And if we dwell upon that, we'd be depressed all the time. But life, world can change. Imagine what Naomi Warren saw change in her life from the time she was in Auschwitz to what happened to her. And the renewal, the story of renewal, a hope and renewal, there's hope. Every child, don't be discouraged because you're fixing to have a child. Rejoice because in that child can be a John the Baptist, can be a won't be a Jesus, but can be every hope that the world needs, can be an Esther. Every child is a gift from God. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Boy, I tell you what, it takes you a long time to flip through Psalm 119, doesn't it? Lest the Lord builds the house. Now, wait a minute. Every child's going to be a blessing if the Lord's in that house. Okay? Make sure the Lord's in that house. They labor in vain who build it unless the Lord guards the city. The watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat bread of painful labors, and he gives to his beloved even his sleep. Verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. I've told you before, but I'll say it again because I haven't told all of you. I was teaching a class, had a ladies' class I always taught in Montgomery. And one day we were talking, and this was the midst of that hunter, that child of mine. He was our fourth child, the one that just got married. He cried for 3 years. And we had to carry him around. No wonder he's our last child. But anyway, I was teaching Bible class one day, and I don't know how it was coming out at that lady's Bible class, but I look over, and I had to be talking about my child sleeping, not sleeping, and all the, oh, woe is me. Don't you hate to be around people that's woe is me? But look over at Betty Birch, and just tears are rolling down her cheek. And I said, Betty, are you okay? Her husband was an elder in the church and still is there. And she said, Tommy, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says children are a blessing from God and a heritage from Him. And we should be thankful. We were in the middle of class. I said, class is over. I mean, the lesson had been taught. Now, Hunter got better. And I don't know if I got better or he got better. But remember that on your hard days. And in the end, friends, and we're getting to the end, Wiki's family, not many people left. Ed Ketchy, we had a discussion this week. He's got a relative that has no other relative left on earth but Ed, who is his cousin. Family is so important. Sam, family is so important. And if you lose that, you lose the base. That's what's wrong with people trying to destroy the family. That's what is good about earth and people is family. Don't destroy marriage and family. Mothers and fathers, do you ever feel like you need help? I put that help there because it's in relation to the movie. I don't know how many of you saw the movie Help, but we went to see it. It's about a time in our country where, sad time in many ways, but it's a time which some of us were raised in. And we especially had interest in it because the person who won the Academy Award was a close friend of ours. Octavia Spencer went to school with Hobby and was just a close friend of ours, and is a close friend of ours. Whether she'll tell you that or not, she'll say the porch, she'll say she knows us anyway. You know what I remember that, some people don't like this line too much, but this I remember so much. When Abilene Clark said to that little girl, May Mobley, she said, as she was being fired for unjust reason, and she looked at that child and told her something she had told her all the time. You remember, you is kind, you is smart, and you is important. Some people have said they wish they hadn't used the grammar there, but if you know Viola Davis, the actress, she's a beautiful woman and very intelligent. She did that script wonderfully well. But as you looked at that movie, here were mothers that didn't have time for their children. They didn't rock their children. They didn't talk to their children about those things. But here's some people that were helping, and they were doing the most important things for their children. You is kind. We need to teach that because God teaches you to be kind. You is smart because you know the Lord. You is important because you are a child of God. How much time are you spending rocking your children saying that? You say, I don't have help. But what are you trying to do with your children? Are you trying to make sure they have every sport activity they can, every game they can have, every iPad they can have, every adventure they can have, every bit of fun they can have, get every bit of the knowledge of the world they can have? Are you sitting with your children and rocking them every day now? Because you know they're kind because you're telling them the Lord teaches them to be kind. You're teaching them that they're so smart because they know the Lord. You're teaching them because that they are important because they are a child of God. Or do you not have time to rock your children and tell them that every day? You're too busy with all the things of this world. Can you see how these things can come back and be the come back and do the same thing? We end up doing the same thing. We end up not having time to sit and tell our children why they're so important and why they're supposed to be kind and why they're so smart. That's what it means to teach people the Lord, to put the Word of God in them, to drive it deeply in them. Teach your children. That's my mama. That's my brother. Jesus Christ saved my brother, but he used my mama. He used her love for years and years and years, and kindness, and telling my brother why he was important when my brother was hard as a rock. There's only one person that got that message into my brother's heart. Only one. And it wasn't the preacher brother. Well, thank you, Wicky. She said I helped. But it was a mother. It was a mother who had the time to always love her son. There's my mama not too long before she died, a couple of years. She had that influence on my older children so much. In fact, that girl lived in New York. But when mother was in the hospital, we were all in the hospital room and she was passing away. But Robin was in the bed with my mother, holding her. She just stayed in bed with mother in the hospital. And that was a sweet thing. That this mama who didn't have much education, didn't have much money, didn't have much of this world in any way, had a pretty hard life. She taught children the most important thing. Mothers care for us physically and emotionally till they drop. I'm not going to get to read Proverbs 31. I read something Perry Hall said. It's interesting. I want to ask you to read that. He said 1 Timothy 5, not our New Testament Proverbs 31. Shows what a godly mother does, godly woman does. Read that. All of us know Proverbs 31. Read 1 Timothy 5. I thought that was a good statement. Titus 1, they're the keepers of the home. They love their husbands. They love their children. They keep the home. Mothers care for us physically, spiritually. This mother, this wife, who, even though the husband might not be a Christian, by her manner of life, without a word spoken, she could bring this husband to the Lord. And my mama was sort of that kind of woman. You just don't have to be that smart, have that much things. You just got to know what's important. Mothers fervently love us. Let's do turn to John. We're nearly through. He's gone away from home. He spent 3.5 years stirring up people drawing a lot of people, but stirring up powerful people to anger and hate of him because he loved them. Those people that were the men and strong got all his teaching during those 3.5 years when he got out ministering the word, they were gone. They were hiding. But not his mama. Verse 23 of chapter 19. The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made 4 parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless and woven in one piece. They said, therefore, to one another, let's not tear it, but cast lots for it. Imagine a mother seeing this. To decide who it shall be, and the scripture might be fulfilled, they divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus the strongest people in the world, and their women. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Men, we just act strong. We arm wrestle, we hit, I wrestle, I kick. I coach football. I preach. I do things I like to do. Children, we're leaving with this. Our reading for this morning. Look at it again. Ephesians. First of all, when we had Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, I did left out number 4. Now, fathers, I'm going to put you in here. Don't mess things up, okay? Stay out of it. Don't mess it up. I mean, you got to be in it. Don't get me wrong. Because it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Don't mess it up. I don't think the mothers would be so inclined to that disposition as much. But children, what should you do this day and every day? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Do you honor your mother? If you all had time, I'd go to every one of these children and ask them right in their eyes, do you honor your mother? And if you say no, I'd grab you by the scuff of your neck and I'd take you back there and I'd talk to you for 20 minutes. And then I'd go to the next one. Because I tell you, I've got no patience with somebody that don't honor their mother. You don't want me to find that you don't honor. That is the lowest point of humanity. That's how I feel. So how can you honor your mother? Do it verbally, with your words. Honor her. Tell her you honor her. Do it physically. Hug her. Let her know. Do it patiently. Mothers have bad days. And you're the reason for most of them. Mothers have bad days. Be patient. Do it attentively. Mothers just need to know they're appreciated like all of us. Wesley, look at me. Okay, I'm not going to take you out. Look at me, though. He bowed his head. He's praying for his mama, I know. Attentively. Gratefully. You've got a mama. whether your mother biologically had you, adopted you, or however, you've got a mama. You've got somebody that loves you. Be grateful. Tell you what, when you don't have a mama, it's a sad thing. Took me 3 years to take my mama's phone number out of my phone. I just couldn't do it. So I got a new phone. And do it generously. And you got to help each other. Listen, don't get into this. Oh, yeah, we've been at your mama's house. I mean, both of you help each other love their mamas. I'm talking about husbands and wives. Everybody love their mamas. I remember when we were in Birmingham, we'd been married 15 years or so, and we'd never had a house. I never thought about I was going to ever be able to afford a house preaching. That's the way it was. But I remember telling my wife, I said, Wiki, I need to get my mama a house. She doesn't have a house. And she needs to retire, and we need to get her a house. And she said, do it. Let's do it. And she helped. And we all and the children helped. But she didn't say, well, I don't have a house. She was thrilled to death to help get my mama a house. When we hadn't even thought about getting a house. Do you appreciate your mama? Put your arm around her. Go ahead. Put your arm around her. Oh, I wish more were there. Kobe appreciates his grandmama because he's been leaning on her all the time. Listen. You are a treasure. You're a treasure that of God. He made you special. Let's appreciate it. Most special thing is, though, whether you had a good life or a bad life, whether you've got a mama or don't have a mama, or a daddy or don't have a daddy, you got a God who loves you. You got a Savior who died for you. And if everything was bad, which sometimes people are just, you can go meet people that just don't have anything and no hope. But there's hope of renewal in Christ Jesus for those who have no mother or father. Jesus says, I will bring about an adoption to the Father in heaven. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, why don't you turn from your sins and arise and be baptized right now and love God, serve Him for the rest of your life. If we can help you, let us know how as we stand together.